We're in Luke's Gospel again this week, continuing on the parables of Jesus. We're looking today at Luke 16, verses 19 to 31, in a sermon entitled The Rich Man and Lazarus, Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Father in heaven, this unbelievable parable is one that we must digest and then apply to our lives. Help us to do that today, in Jesus' name, amen. Dr. James Dobson tells about a friend of his, a specialist. Now get this, this specialist. He is a specialist in obstetrics and gynecology. Needed Ruth on that one. Didn't usually have to practice it. One day, this friend telephones another specialist in the same field and asks him for a favor. He said, "My wife's been having some abdominal problems, and she's in particular discomfort this afternoon. I don't want to treat my own wife and wonder if you would see her for me." The other specialist invited the doctor to bring his wife in for an examination, and when he did, he discovered, are you ready for this? She was 5 months pregnant. Her obstetrician husband was so busy caring for other patients that he had not even noticed his own wife's burgeoning pregnancy. True story. Have you ever noticed that some people are absolutely clueless about some very important things? I mean clueless. You know somebody, you're thinking about them right now. One man said his wife doesn't complain often, but once they were having an old-fashioned heart-to-heart talk, she said, Hon, you never listen to me. Every time I try to talk to you, you get this faraway look in your eyes. Only after a few seconds. Please promise me that you'll try to work on that." He says the last thing he remembers was replying, "I'm sorry, what was that you were saying?" Of course, many wives would allege that their husbands are clueless. One woman says that she and her husband were snuggled together on the floor one chilly winter evening watching television, and during a commercial break, she says he reached over and gave her foot a gentle squeeze. She said, "That's so sweet." "Actually," he admitted sheepishly, "I thought your foot was the remote." Clueless. According to Pastor Rick Warren, there is a little structure deep in our brains, a little structure deep in our brains called the reticular activating system. The reticular activating system is our brain's filter. It allows us to filter through all of the sensory stimuli that we're receiving and focus only what's important to us. filter out some stuff, focus on what's important to us. Now, this system allows us to filter out the hum of the air conditioner, the itchy sweater we're wearing, the flickering light overhead, so that we can focus on the pastor's message. Now, there are three types of information that are so important that they automatically get through that built-in filter. Three things that always get through, no matter what. The three things that get through are things that are unique, things that we value, and things that we find threatening. Things that are unique, things that we value, and things that we find threatening. So let's take an example. You're at an important business meeting, you're focusing all your concentration on the boss's speech, and suddenly the coffee pot behind you blows up. You would almost certainly notice the coffee pot blowing up because this would be both unique and threatening to you. Or let's say you're working on a big project at home when you hear a little squeal come from your baby's room. You know about that, Matt, now. You notice that small sound because you're automatically attuned to your baby. She's valuable to you, and therefore you notice anything connected to her. All of this is due to the reticular activating system. So here we go. Very interesting. You're saying, what does this have to do with this rich man and Lazarus? I'll get you there. Here we go. He tells a parable, Jesus does, about a rich man. And he goes into detail in verse 19 about this man. He was dressed in purple, fine linen, lives in luxury every day. This guy had it all. Whatever he wanted, it was at his beck and call. And we also then get the picture of the opposite. At his gate, just outside the door, kind of like you go outside the church and sitting right there on the stairs, is this guy Lazarus. But it was outside his house, at his gate. And Lazarus was a beggar. Lazarus is not only a beggar. Lazarus is a beggar with sores. Okay? So you're a beggar. You got a problem. You got sores. Another problem. He longed to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came to lick his sores. This guy was in bad shape. The dogs are licking his sores. He is hungry, looking for crumbs from the table of this rich man, and he was a beggar at the gate. Now, here's this reticular system coming into play. I want you to notice that the rich man wasn't paying any attention to Lazarus. The rich man did not even see Lazarus. This happens a lot in New York City. So many people are going through. I am reminded of upstate New York, where I'm from, where some people can beat me to the punch of saying hello to me, and Lucy and I walk around Gilcrest over in Congress, and I'm a hello person. Hello. Now, I don't try it with those earphones, people, but the other ones, I'll say hello. It is amazing to me that there are some people that have activated their system so that they will not even respond. None, zero, not at all. Now, I keep trying, and there are some people that will stop and have a conversation with you and tell you all about their life. Very interesting. But the things that are important to us, we allow in. The things that are not, filter out. So get back to New York City. You have so much need in that place. You're walking through the Bowery. Eventually, you just stop seeing the drunks that are there on the sidewalk. You stop seeing the people that have their signs begging for money. You stop seeing them. You have to filter it out because there's just so much going on that you've got something else happening. You don't even see them. Well, this rich man did not see Lazarus. Didn't pay attention. This man's reticular activating system, I think, completely filtered this poor man out of the scene. You see, Lazarus was a nobody in this rich man's world. If he was noticed, it probably was only a notice of disgust. Ugh, horrible. He's got sores, he's out here, the dogs are licking it. It's interesting. It's interesting, though. I want you to note something. Whose name do we know? And whose name do we not know? We know the name of the beggar. He is named. We have to call the rich man, because he is not even named here. He is not even named. You want to know something? I am so happy to say to you what matters in God's time train, in God's reticular activating system. He is not filtering you out. No matter what you're going through, no matter whether you have sores, no matter whether you're a beggar at the rich man's gate, no matter what is happening to you or your family today, God is focused on you. God loves you. God wants to work with you wherever you are because he loves you. Sometimes we think that God is not there. Sometimes we think that God has filtered us out. Sometimes we think that there are just so many things that are going on with God that he just doesn't see that little bitty problem that we have compared to the whole big problems that we else have. God cares about everything. He listens to every prayer. He hears your cry to him. He loves you. He has never filtered you out, and he never will. But guess what? There's something that happens in life, and this parable reminds us. People die. You're not going to live forever, and neither am I. Lucy's Uncle Jim went home to be with the Lord. Gone. There's a person in Bosie's that just had a heart attack at the age of 53. Gone. Unexpected. Left children behind. You don't know the day and the hour. I don't know the day and the hour. Nobody does. And yet we live our lives as if tomorrow is promised. And so we change what it is that we do. And that is wrong. God loves us. So here we have the reality of death. We get there pretty quick. Verse 22. The time came when the beggar died. And the angels carried him to Abraham's side. I'll tell you, in this life, you will have trials and tribulations. Some of you are going through some pretty amazing, difficult trials and tribulations right this moment. Some of you are willing to share them. Some of you keep them inside. But we're going through stuff. We really are. The angels come to carry him to Abraham's side. And then we also find this. Boy, I almost wanted to choose this as the verse for the week, but it would have been almost too much. Verse 22b. The rich man also died and was buried. Death comes to us all. Rich, poor, in between, it's on its way. What you do today matters. God loves you and he's given you a choice. And that's why the importance of evangelists that like Nabil that are preaching the good news of the gospel all over this world need our prayers and our support. That's why the ministry of Operation Christmas Child and the messages that are presented when those boxes are given is so very important. Everybody is going to die. So, we find one person, and he's languishing in hell. Meanwhile, Lazarus is in glory. Now, this is a parable, not an allegory, so we need to be careful not to take this as a literal picture of heaven and hell. In this parable, the rich man can see into heaven, and he could call out to Abraham, which he did. He says to him, Father Abraham, I beg you, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. He also asked, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I am in agony in this fire." I didn't think about this before, but think about this. The rich man is in hell, and he still doesn't get it. What is he demanding? What is he demanding? He thinks of this man, this beggar, this Lazarus, as a person that can still serve him. He doesn't just ask for anybody to dip his finger and come and touch his tongue. He specifically asks for Lazarus. And then Abraham reminds him, "Hey, in this world you had a lot of great stuff. You had nice things. Lazarus had none of them." And he also reminded him that there is a chasm between heaven and hell that cannot be bridged. In other words, the bottom line is it was too late for the rich man. Too late. His fate was sealed. He turned his head too many times in ignoring the beggar at his gate. He had rejected the good news. So he still doesn't get it. Still doesn't get it. He says, "Okay then, I beg you, who is it again that he asked to be sent to his family?" Once again, Lazarus. Now, this one's a little bit more understandable because Lazarus was a known quantity, but this guy had ignored him forever. Think about it. He's asking Lazarus to go back and actually tell his family, "Hey, there's something you need to know before you die." Abraham tells him they have Moses and the prophets, listen to them. And yet he goes on, verse 31, he said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." A powerful parable. And I always think about it when I'm reading it, that Jesus rose from the dead. And even though Jesus rose from the dead, died on the cross for our sins, there are people who still do not believe in him. You have to deal with Jesus. And many people don't deal with life at all. When you deal with Jesus and his death on the cross, you have a clear, unmistakable choice. So I want to ask you something today. Are there people in your world that you don't even see? You don't see them. Needy people. You don't see them. Hurting people. People who need your attention. I want to tell you, they're everywhere. Maybe even within our own family. Next door. The cubicle. At the office. They may not be covered with sores. There may be no dogs licking those sores. But you can see the hurt in their eyes. There are a lot of hurting people. You're not alone. And I'll tell you, if you look at someone, if you really make a connection with them, you can tell when they're hurting. I was at BOCES. And there was a woman that I'd known, a very energetic person. She is a Christian. And I wanted to have a little bit more of a connection with her, but she was sitting waiting for a meeting. And I just looked at her and I said, "How are you?" That's all. "How are you?" And she said to me, "I'm still hurting. 7 weeks ago, my 23-year-old son just suddenly died. And all I'm saying is, I just saw a person that just didn't seem, they seemed to be somewhere else." And I had other stuff to do. I could have easily just gone right by, and we can't help everybody. But we also have to be aware that sometimes we're called to actually reach out and touch somebody, even though it's inconvenient. Sometimes we cannot filter them out. Boy, I'll tell you, it's an amazing thing. So many people are starved for attention. So many children want their parents' approval. Their parents ignore them. They're so busy working or doing other things that their children are starved for love, starved for attention, but their parents have, in their busyness, actually blocked them out. And we can do the same thing with people we love. And it is a challenge. Family people can be a real piece of work. Now, I'm a family person. I can be a real piece of work. But you know what I mean. Sometimes they're just plain mean and unlovable. If we're at the family reunion, they're the last person we want to talk to. We want to filter them out. And yet I'm saying to you today that maybe God wants you to filter them in. Even though it's inconvenient. Even though they have sores. Even though the dog is licking those sores. Even though they're begging and they're disgusting. We just don't want to see it. It just needs to be filtered out. You know, some of those people, like Will, I think so starved for attention that they stab somebody. They hurt someone. They attack their mother. They're seeking attention. They're trying to get it. And because they're not getting it positively, they look to get it in any way they can. They look to get it negatively. There's so many people starved for attention that we should be reaching out to. Spouses. Aging family members, shut-ins, people with disabilities. We must make sure that our reticular activating system does not filter these people out. We need to make sure that they are on the radar because they matter to God. Every time I go with Sue and others to the nursing home to minister, I am amazed by the reality that these people understand that they are loved, that we are seeing them, that they are on our radar, that we love them, and it makes a difference. It's not easy sometimes to go. Sometimes you're tired. Sometimes church has just drained you of everything. And it'd be so easy to just let them go off our radar. They can't serve our needs, so we don't even see them. You know, we are in a hurry. Wow. Like never before, there are too many things to do and not enough time to do it. We've got places to go. We've got meetings to be at. We've got goals to accomplish. We can become like the gynecologist with the pregnant wife so that we do not even see what is right before our eyes. Now, most of us do have a machine in us. A machine in us that sets off a buzzer when an evil thought crosses our mind. It's called a conscience. What we really need is a machine that tells us when there are people around us that need us. People we are overlooking right outside the gates of our consciousness. I'm telling you this morning, Jesus loves you. He loves us, and Jesus sees. And he wants us, you and me, to see. Love sees. This rich man did not see. He passed this poor beggar day after day and really never saw him until it was too late. You and I need to train our eyes to see those around us. But I got to tell you, being sensitive to the needs of other people is something we have to work at. It's not easy. But love does see, and you need to remember that. You've got to see it. But just because you see it, that doesn't mean you do anything about it. You also have to understand that love does not only see, love does something about it. Love acts. Not only did the rich man not even see Lazarus, there's no evidence that he ever did anything to help him in his situation. All he did was turn a blind eye. One guy was trying to be humorous, and he told about a friend of his. He said, "Old George and I are great buddies. There's nothing we wouldn't do for one another." And that's how we spend our lives, doing nothing for one another. Unfortunately, that's true for far too many of us. We must understand from this parable that love sees and love acts. And do you want to know what love also does? I've seen it over and over again. Love heals. How often at a funeral have we seen people torn apart with guilt? Guilt! I'm telling you right now, Melissa and Norma did not have guilt because they spent their time and their life with the person they loved while he was still here. I remember Helen Kozart, a former member of this church who's gone on to be with the Lord, and she said, "Send your flowers to me now when I'm alive. I'm not going to be able to enjoy them when I'm dead." Some people get to a place where a family member or somebody they know that they should have done something, engage them in some way, and you get to the funeral and you feel guilty. You feel guilty because you didn't spend enough time or whatever reason that you have. You know, they may have not said anything mean, never abused them, except through neglect, perhaps. I should have been there, should have done this, didn't realize. If we are led by the love of Jesus, we do what we can. It doesn't mean that we do everything that we want. It just means that we see and we act. And if we do those things, if we see and if we act, it will heal people. I'm telling you right now, I've gone to visit people. And if you do this, you'll see it too. Nursing home, any place. You see it, you act on it, and it heals. It heals them as they are there, but it does something absolutely amazing, wonderful, and strange. It heals you. If you are depressed, if you are down, if you need to be lifted up, serve the Lord Jesus Christ by seeing and acting, because healing will take place in the person you visit and in you. Over and over again, I found that I've been exhausted and find myself going to see someone or visit someone or stopping to talk to them. And over again, the tiredness fades, at least for that time. And the blessing and the healing and the strength increases. And I know at the end of it that I am blessed. You know, we don't have any indication here in the scripture that the rich man was a bad man. He was clueless, totally clueless. He did not see, he did not act, and he probably is spending an eternity mumbling, "Where in the world have I been?" The day is coming when God will call you home. The day is coming when God is going to call your loved ones and other people home. And he's calling you, like Jonah, to do something that might be uncomfortable. Unfortunately, so many of us, when asked to do that uncomfortable thing, run. We don't think that the people of Nineveh have a right to be saved. That of all the people that we reach out to, those would not be the ones. Send me somewhere else. I'd be rather that I'd be swallowed by a fish. And we fight with God. As I remember, and as you remember this parable today, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, there is a consequence for believing in Jesus or not. There is a heaven and a hell. And God has called us to love while we're alive. He's called us to make a difference while we are here. He's asked us to be his hands and his feet. And we need to make sure that we do not filter out the needs of others as we move on with our lives. May God help us and give us wisdom and strength to do his will. It is not easy, but it is absolutely essential. Father in heaven, I thank you for your word, for the reality of it, and for the challenge it brings. Lord, I pray for me. Pray for each person here, Lord. It's so hard in the din of the world to see and hear everything we're supposed to see and hear. And so I pray, and I hope others here pray, let me see this world, dear Lord, through your eyes. Help us, Lord, to see as you see, to feel as you feel, to not filter out that which you would never filter out. Help us to go and give and make a difference in Jesus' name. Amen.